Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fire Friday on Ben and Woods. It's also been a Top Gun Friday.
Yeah, it has.
The release of the Top Gun Maverick trailer at Comic-Con by none other than Tom Cruise yesterday. That was a very cool San Diego moment.
Very cool moment.
And you were, you know what, I was offended when you suggested before I got here this morning that maybe I haven't even seen it or I'm above Top Gun.
Yeah.
Top Gun's like top 10 all time for me in movies.
Oh, yeah. Now you're offended.
Yeah, now I'm offended. Now I mean, I'm offended.
You haven't seen No Country for Old Men.
I haven't
seen Godfather.
But no, I've seen Godfather.
Okay, Goodfellas.
No,
The Wrestler.
No, but this is that none of them are Top Gun.
I'm with you. Top Gun is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it absolutely still holds up.
I hope there's at least a few scenes of San Diego that really recognizable in the movie.
I mean,
the trailer even had a couple where, okay, I feel like we're going to be taken care of.
Well, if you were up at 5 and listening, you heard me. I had a couple of problems with the sequel. You know how they do it with, they start doing the same bits that they did in the movie last time. There's a scene with a bunch of guys with their shirts off, and instead of playing volleyball, they're playing football.
Yep. Motorcycle riding along the runway.
Yeah, it's like, we did
that.
It's
called fan service.
Is that what it's called?
It actually pays off for movies to do that. It's like a little giddy thrill.
Little throwbacks.
Yeah, a little throwback. Makes people feel good. Like, hey, I saw this movie a long time ago. Makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Not me. It makes me think like they're even
you're going to see it anyway.
More unoriginal.
You're going to see it anyway. They don't care what you think.
Do you agree with my take that at some point in the movie, we will hear the words, "Talk to me, Goose."
Undoubtedly.
Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, it could be in the first few
Goose's
minutes.
Goose's son has to be one of the pilots.
Talk to me, Dad.
Yeah, Goose's son, I believe, is Miles Teller is what the rumor is. He plays Goose's son.
Makes sense.
Who was just a little baby in the first movie.
Yeah, he was. God, so, was so sad.
Now going to be a
so sad. Are we doing Top Gun talk now because Boog Shambi's not on the phone?
I usually don't give away our secrets.
I don't care. It's Friar Friday. We do whatever we want.
It's Friar Friday. We'll talk some baseball. A couple of headlines out there. Non-baseball related. Big story was Tyreek Hill. No suspension from the NFL. He will be eligible for training camp and all team club activities with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the statement that the NFL released this morning left open the possibility that if any new information comes to light, that they still reserve the right to issue a fine or suspension at a later date. But based on the information that they've been able to gather, and they admitted that they couldn't get much, that court records, things are sealed. But from what they've talked to people involved in the case, they just don't have enough of an idea of what actually happened to go ahead and start punishing someone. But rest assured, the NFL is going to be keeping a very close eye on Tyreek Hill. I mean, if he gets a toe out of line from this point on,
you would think.
You figure that he's going to be in some hot water.
I mean, and again, it's he's had these issues, and all along it's been him and the same other person involved in all of these issues. And you've got to wonder at this point, like, what's he thinking? You know, what's he thinking keeping this thing going? Whether it's her or him or just maybe they're just a bad combo together, man. But every single time, this has been going on a long time. There's audio of her admitting to setting him up in college, you know, for basically telling the police he did something he didn't do. And she kind of owned that in the audio. And she said, well, I'm talking about our kid now. And I mean, like I said earlier, man, just because he didn't do what he was accused of in college doesn't mean he didn't harm his child. And that's a scary thing to kind of have floating out there.
Yeah, but when you go to the credibility of a witness in a case, if they've admitted in the past that they've been, you know, not credible,
yeah,
they've lied in the past, you take that in consideration. Have you ever been on jury duty?
I've been on jury duty once.
Did you get on a trial? Okay, no. So I've twice been picked for trial.
You are the perfect juror. Perfect.
And the second time, I actually was the jury foreman.
Oh, my.
The foreperson of the jury.
God.
And one of the instructions the judge gives you is that if you believe a witness is lying during their testimony, you know, based on the cross-examination, you can discount pretty much anything else that witness says.
Wow.
That you can say, okay, if you feel like they are being untruthful to you, you can hold that against them, and anything else that they say, you can take that with a grain of salt, give it as much or as little weight as, even if they're under oath, you don't have to believe them, especially if they've been caught in what you think is a lie already.
Mm.
So, you know, kind of goes to this case. She may be truthful, but in the past,
she cried wolf.
She's admitted to being untruthful, makes it very hard to build a case going forward. So, you know, I guess if you're a Chiefs fan and you don't really care about anything other than wins and losses, this is good news.
Yeah, you're really excited
you've got Tyreek Hill eligible from the get-go this season. And
he's a ridiculous football player.
Yeah, I mean, it should be very close. I mean, remember last year in the AFC West, do you remember how the standings finished last year? Chiefs won the division.
Yeah.
Chargers were the wild card. They both were 12-4, though.
Yep.
You know, it came down to tiebreakers at the end. So those teams are separated just by a hair. Not having Tyreek Hill for, if it was six games, whatever it was going to be, that was going to be a major blow to Kansas City. So that kind of changes the dynamic in the AFC West, I would say, this season.
Did it just get really hot in here?
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, my God.
Woodsy's getting hot on a Fryer Friday.
You okay over there?
No, man. Mm.
What happened?
I don't know. I just got like the sweats going.
Got the cake sweats? The donut sweats?
Sugar sweats? Holy
cow.
Yeah,
I think just over sugar.
Maybe I'm dying because I just turned 44. This is it. This is the end of the road for me.
You've hit your expiration.
You're not hot and sweaty right now?
No, fine. It feels nice and cool and comfortable in here. It's a problem.
I honestly don't know what's wrong. I'm pouring sweat.
Yeah, if we track down Boog Shambi, great. I always love talking to him. If not, we'll just put him on another day. It is a Fryer Friday. I think he's going to be in Atlanta this weekend, the Nationals and the Braves, the Sunday night baseball game. He calls it for ESPN Radio. The Nationals, by the way, quietly have started really playing good baseball. They're putting a little bit of a distance between themselves and the rest of the wild card race at the top. Steven Strasburg yesterday not only had a great pitching effort against the Braves, he just murdered a baseball, his fourth career home run, over 400 feet.
Yeah,
he just launched one.
Smoked it.
And he's a guy that, you know, there's a number of pitchers that the Padres in the next 3 to 5 years have their eye on in free agency. I think Strasburg's a free agent next year, correct?
After next season?
After next season. Bringing him home, would that be something that you would be interested in as a Padres fan?
Yes.
You would be?
Yeah.
Now, Steven Strasburg's had a great career, but it's been marked by injuries.
Yep.
And, you know, some up and downs, as every pitcher does. He's not, you know, been as dominant maybe as a number one overall draft pick you were hoping he would be. You know, he's not a multi-Cy Young Award winner.
Been pretty good.
But he's been pretty good.
I'm not paying him $25 a year or anything like that. But, yeah.
Hometown discount.
No,
nah,
they don't do
sort.
That anymore. Yeah, they don't do that. I would love to see Strasburg as a Padre.
The feel-good nature of that story, having played at West Hill, San Diego State, to come back and finish his career with the Padres, I like the idea. I don't like the idea if it's just going to be, you know, a 4-5 ERA and he's just a pitcher.
Just
if
a guy.
If he comes to the Padres and leads them to their first World Series title, he's probably about 29 or 30.
Is he really? He's that old? Yeah, I guess he is. Yeah, never mind. I don't want any more.
A little too on the wrong end of that.
Let's yeah, see. A little
he
too
is 30.
30, yeah, no, I'm good.
30, and by the way, 31 tomorrow.
31 tomorrow.
31 tomorrow. Born July 20th, 1988.
Fryer Gal just tweeted in, Stephen Woods just got his first hot flash on the air.
Menopause.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming. #Padres Padres period Twitter. I don't know what to do with
44. That. 44. You're hitting that age.
I'm not kidding. Like I'm like pouring sweat right now. I think I just got like the flu. I'm not joking.
I hope not.
Me too.
No food poisoning from it certainly wasn't the cake. I know it wasn't the cake. Maybe the donuts that the SEALs brought in. I don't want to blame them for anything.
I don't either, but holy cow.
12-4, 3.52 ERA this season for Strasburg, though. He's having one of his best seasons of his career at the moment, and he'll be looking to cash in one more time at some point. So we'll see. I don't know. It's just something I'd heard mentioned. Padres, Strasburg, hometown. Would you be interested in that guy on the tail end of his career?
Man flashes, somebody said they're called. They start in your mid-40s. Here we go.
The day you hit your mid-40s,
like, though, the day. Or? Like the day of.
All right, we'll get into some Padres talk coming up here. If you want to call in on our Friar Friday, 833-288-0973. Yesterday's game, lost 5 out of 6 to start the second half. Kind of a big series against the Cubs here. We got a game coming up here in a couple hours.
Every series, man. Well, I mean, you gotta start winning some of these.
You have to start winning now, really. You absolutely have to start winning now. We will get to that coming up next.
Grab your favorite Padres cap, sit back, relax. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
I can happily report that we should have a Padres game for you here at 11:10. We've already checked in with Dave Marcus, producer extraordinaire on the road at Wrigley Field. The line is working, so we should have Ted and Jesse for you here in a couple of hours. Opening game of a 3-game series against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Eric Lauer, you never know how a guy's going to respond. He's coming off the bereavement list, lost his dad.
Very sad, man.
Just about a week and a half ago, and he's going to be pitching for the first time with a heavy heart, no doubt. He'll be going up against veteran John Lester in the opening to the series today.
Should be a good one, man. Somebody made the point on Twitter of, hey, you know, it's just like the Padres to go out and win these games to pull at our heartstrings for the next few days and get us all excited again.
Pulling our heartstrings a little bit. I don't mind that, because
if you don't
win, the season's starting to unravel at this point.
It is.
If you get swept, you're 7 games under .500, and there's no urgency to try to make a move at the deadline or anything. You're going to be too far. So, yeah, you got to win a series here, and you at least, you know, sweep would be great. If unlikely, you got to find a way to win a series. Who's that?
That's our little third chair this morning. You say hi?
Hi, Bo.
Hey, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
Almost.
So close.
What's your name? Get some headphones, too. Just get some radio headphones. This is my great picture for Instagram.
This is my 18-month-old.
You like that? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can you say hi? What's your name?
React to me,
Bo.
He's going
like, I could hear you before without the headphones. Why do I have to wear these?
Hey, what's your name? What's your name?
Yeah, you can talk.
Now he clams
shyness.
Up.
Shyness has hit.
Amazing.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, he's. They came in for my birthday, my lovely wife, Hannah. Hi, babe.
Good to see
Turn
you.
Turn your mic on there,
think,
pro.
I don't
there
think Paul is your mic
There you
on.
Go.
I thought we had a producer in this.
She's definitely my wife. She's definitely my wife.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So you guys actually met in a radio studio like
we did.
This, right?
Yeah, we did. She walked into the studio and took my breath away, and apparently I took hers away, which is shocking when you see us side by side.
I must have been inebriated.
You must have been inebriated. What? You okay?
Just turn his mic off, and he'll pay more attention to you. Just hit the off button.
Bo, you
we'll
got
be good.
Better presence on the mic, man.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Hey, just what's your name?
Hit the off button. Now you're back on. You're on again.
What's your name? What's your name?
So close.
Great radio.
I think he knows it. I think he knows it. It's a good tease. We're keeping us on.
Yeah. Turn my mic off. There you go. Yeah, we did. We met on a radio station, and it took me about 2 weeks to get a date with her, and once we had a date, it took me about another week to get another date, and the rest is history, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just like that.
Great history.
Great history.
And I am here for your birthday, and I would love to say that that's the only reason I'm here, but I'm really here for the hammer.
Your mic's off again.
She really wanted to meet the hammer. She really was excited about meeting Hammer. She's sweating and starstruck.
You're both sweating now. It's like this family that sweats together stays together.
We're both menopausal, apparently.
You both love Hammer.
Hammer time.
You both love Hammer, and you both have some hot flashes right now. So what do you think moving forward? Andres Munoz is the new sensation in the Padres' bullpen woods.
Yep.
2 innings yesterday, finally gave up a hit, but then came back and struck out the side to get out of a jam. 20 years old, flamethrower, hits 100.
Man.
We've seen up to 102 on the gun. They've said, I think in the minor leagues, he's gotten up to 104. at some point. Plus, he's got a pretty nasty-looking slider to go along with
it. Filthy.
Are we ready to start giving him higher leverage spots later in games? Seventh, even eighth inning opportunities for Andrés Muñoz with a lead. Would you trust him with a one-run lead in the seventh or the eighth inning right now?
I mean, there's only one way to find out if he's the guy, and that's to give him a shot. And I think, you know, based on, like, Trey Wingener has got really, really good stuff. But our buddy Ryan Phillips made the point the other day. He gets fairly rattled, it seems, easy. Like, if something doesn't go his way, if he walks a guy or a guy gets on via an error, there's a little bit of meltdown that goes along with it. And we saw it a little bit yesterday. I'm okay flip-flopping those guys. I'm okay getting Wingener back into the sixth or something and then giving Munoz a shot. He's 20 years old. Like, let's see what this kid's made of. I'm all for it. I mean, it's not like we're running for a division right now, so give it a whirl, man. Maybe he's your closer of the future.
Well, an interesting question to ask of our Friar Friday guest coming up here in about 10 minutes, Sam Ganey, who's the Padres Senior Director of Player Development. He's in charge of the farm system. How they transitioned and got Andrés Muñoz to this point, because he was like one of the projects in the Padres minor leagues, and right now looking like one of the big success stories coming out of the Padres minor leagues. What was that process like? Because he didn't start out as a flame-throwing reliever. What do you know what he started out as?
Was he a shortstop?
Was he like Javier?
I don't know. I need to ask.
So we'll find out a little more of the backstory of Andrés Muñoz and how he got to this point. Fernando Tatis Jr., any concerns about the sloppy play, the bad throws, what's been going on in the series? Now, I love that even slumping, he struck out, what, four times?
Four out of seven, I believe,
Wednesday,
or seven out of 11.
And then he comes back and he hits a home run yesterday.
Yeah.
You love to see that. So I was very pleased by that. Made another error, though. It could have been on Ian Kinsler as well. It wasn't the worst play in history. But it was undoubtedly a sloppy, not great series for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Not really worried about him at all. Not in the slightest.
A little bit.
I'm not at all.
I tend to be a bit of a worrier on these things because in rookies in Major League Baseball, they do tend to hit a wall.
They do.
You know, it can be July, it can be August, sometimes it's all the way to September, but they're used to shorter seasons. Remember last year, this is about the time that Fernando Tatis Jr. was done. He got hurt,
yep,
his finger, he was done for the year. He's not gone through anything close to a 162-game Major League schedule. And generally, there's that bit
slowdown. He's missed some time. I'm not real worried about it. It's like Manny, man. I was never worried about Manny. Manny's obviously got the track record, but Toddy's going to be fine.
He does have so much energy. It just doesn't look like he's running out.
No, it's not like he's out of fumes. I mean, he's still playing. He's still getting the balls, and he hit that bomb yesterday. That's a good sign. He looks a little frustrated, I'm not going to lie. I mean, the smiles, I feel like, are a little fewer and far between, but that also comes with a kind of a grueling grind of a road trip and losing a lot of games.
I mean, if you're losing games, there can't be that many smiles.
Right.
It's, it's not a good time right now in that Padres clubhouse. Coming out of the break with all the optimism generated by three straight wins over the Dodgers, only to lose five of your first six in the second half. I mean, this is about a low point for the season right now for the Padres.
Yeah, it is, man. And they need to right the ship, and they keep digging themselves in these really tough holes where you're going to have – I mean, you don't want to end up – if they lose these three games, Benny, what are they, seven out? Seven out of the wild card, is that right? I mean, you're done. That's it.
They're only four.
Right, if they
right
lose
now.
These
oh,
three,
they lose,
though.
Well, yeah. They're seven games under 500.
Under 500.
Depends on what
the
happens
other teams
above
do. Yeah.
them, to where they'll be in the wild card. But – you know, again, pivotal weekend. Couldn't get it done yesterday against the Marlins, despite getting some nice production about Manuel Margot. We talked about him a little bit earlier. He was 3-for-3 with a walk yesterday. His OPS in the last 34 games, over 1,000. He's playing at a pretty elite level right now. And you made such a great point because I said, is this sustainable? Has he figured it out? And I loved what you said about that. You said, nope.
No one's
figured it out. Unless you're Mike Trout.
Christian Yelich seems to have put together.
Cody Bellinger seems to have figured it out this year.
Yep.
You know, slump-proof guys. But there's so few of them in baseball.
Eric
Hosmer goes through slumps. Manny Machado goes through slumps. Almost everyone.
Bad ones where you look like it looks like they've never played baseball before, you know? I mean, it just happens. Manny Margot is hot. So what do? You ride the hot hand.
But the fact that he can get hot for this long. I mean, yeah, I've seen Manuel Margot hot for 4 days.
Right.
You know, I've seen him have a nice week or a nice homestand. I don't remember him having a great month plus like this yet.
Yeah, he's feeling
career.
It right now.
That, to me, is a little bit different. And even if he goes into a slump, I mean, the idea is minimize the slumps.
Yes.
The slumps are 5 days. The good periods are 3 weeks. And that turns you into an all-star type player.
No question.
I'm not saying that Manuel Margot's a future all-star, but the Padres might have an in-house solution at center field that they didn't realize just a few months ago.
And the other thing it does is it's really, really playing Will Myers out of a position right now. I mean, because you got to run Franmil out there. You got to run Hunter out there. And Margot is really – we talk about guys coming in and snatching the position, right? Asuaje didn't do it last year. It was wide open for him, second base. It's there. It's yours if you want it. Austin Hedges, for years now, you know, you've had that shot to really snatch it.
Normally it's the other way around, though. A guy gets partial playing time, and then finally when they put him in consistently, like Hunter Renfroe this year,
yeah,
they blossom. Manuel Margot had plenty of playing time, you know, for 2015, 2016. I mean, they gave him every opportunity to win that job, and he didn't do it. So then his playing time got scaled way back.
Yep.
He turned into a fourth, fifth outfielder, defensive replacement guy. And then finally, with that limited playing time, something seems to have clicked here, and he's earned his way back into the starting lineup on a regular basis. That's once they've kind of, quote-unquote, given up on you, not that they released him, but they certainly reduced his role. Not a lot of guys then turn the corner at that point and say, oh, now I figured it out.
I love it, man. I love to see it. I think he's that guy right now. You're like, you better have Manuel Margot in the lineup today. You got to ride the hot hand. And he's just playing so well and playing great defense. He's always, you know, defense has always been a plus for him. And now watching that stick come around, that bottom of the lineup that was full of black holes has one less black hole.
All right, our Friar Friday management report is coming up next. We'll talk with the Padres' chief of their farm system, senior director of player development, Sam Gainey, is going to be with us. He's got the backstory on Andrés Muñoz, the new sensation in the Padres' bullpen. We'll also, you know, they've got that Rule 5 challenge coming up. How are they going to manage all those prospects who need to be protected this offseason? What's the plan going forward? We'll talk to Sam Gainey coming up next here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
The best coverage of the Padres is right here. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're jumping into the Padres minor league system with the Padres senior director of player development, Sam Gainey, on our Friar Friday in about 60 seconds.
Are you ready to find out what's going on with the Padres? Nobody gives you inside access to the Padres like we do. Let's take you inside the executive suite at Petco Park. It's the Management Report on Friar Friday, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
One thing I'm wondering, Woodsy, as we head out to our SDCCU fan hotline, is how much time our next guest actually gets to spend at Petco Park. Does he even have an office? I'm sure there's a lot of work on the road, small towns, minor leagues, keeping track of everything that's going on in the farm system. But then again, he coordinates it all, so you kind of have to be in one spot. I don't know how it works. That makes this interview a little interesting for me. Sam Gainey, Senior Director of Player Development for the Padres, joining us right here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam, it's good to have you here on Ben and Woods. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. And I actually, to answer your last question, I do have an office in San Diego. Ben Sustanovich, who I work alongside with, we share an office. And usually there's only one of us in there, but we're usually we do a pretty good job of not being in the same place at once. But yeah, this time of the year, as you guys alluded to, there's a lot of travel. Now that we have 8 full minor league squads kicking every night, so spend most of the season out visiting and checking in on those guys in person. But also, there's some, you know, it is, as a lot of guys graduate from the minor league system into the big leagues, it's becoming a little more fun to be around Petco Park these days.
I got to imagine, I mean, look, I think every fan of this team is pretty, you know, they're at least somewhat knowledgeable about the guys in the farm system, more so than I'd say a lot of fan bases are, because that's what, frankly, we've had to look forward to for so long. And I know they would kill to be in on these meetings where you guys are talking about these guys and who's ready to take the next step and all that. That sense of pride that you feel, Sam, when one of your guys graduates, like you said, to the big leagues, what is that like?
It's kind of the most fun part of what we on the development side do. I mean, obviously, you know, every one of these players in our system, honestly, guys who don't make it to the big leagues, but especially the kids who kind of hit all the levels along the way, or in certain cases, not all the levels, and get to the big leagues, it's a really, really special feeling for us on the development side, as well as everyone in baseball operations, scouting, because there's a lot of, from the selection of the player and identifying them, and then all of the various coaches, athletic trainers, strength coaches, teammates, those of us in baseball operations who are lucky enough to work with them. The most recent being, I was in, was watching our AA club last week in Dallas, and got, you know, it was literally an empty clubhouse with myself, our AA manager, our pitching coordinator, and our catching instructor, and just us hooting and hollering as Andres Munoz made his major league debut alongside a couple high school age clubbies. But that was literally us on a Friday night after a ball game, was kind of living and dying with every pitch that the 20-year-old was making as he got his first few outs in the big league.
I have to imagine a story like his is extra satisfying. I mean, we're all excited about Mackenzie Gore, but, you know, as long as he stays healthy, I think everyone knows he's on the fast track to the big leagues. Munoz wasn't a guy whose name you saw in a bunch of those top 30, top 100 prospect lists from Baseball America or MLB.com. In fact, when you guys first found him, he didn't even throw 90. How did you develop? This is the key now. You can get all the talent in the world, you know, into a system. You got to actually turn these guys into major leaguers. How did you guys turn little Andres Munoz into a guy who can hit up to 104 on a radar gun?
Well, correct the record a little. He did. He had one of the better fastballs in that signing class, I would say. You know, it's Chris Kemp and his group who identified Andres. But, you know, at 16 years old, I think when we signed him back in 2012, I think he would maybe touch a 92 or so. So it was still above average velocity.
For that age, yeah.
For that age, but I don't think anyone would sit here and tell you that we foresaw, you know, 10, 12 mile an hour increase over just 4 years. I think a lot of the credit goes to the kid and our strength group that has spent a lot of time adding weight. This was a young man who signed at 6'2", 165 pounds, and, you know, the guy who took the baseball last week at Petco was 6'2", about 230 pounds. Most of it in his lower half. And, you know, and kind of as I think you raise an interesting point as far as kind of Andres' story, Andres' development over the last 4 years, and perhaps why it wasn't as well documented as some of the other more acclaimed prospects. His path was unique. He did not touch every level as he went up through the minor league. In fact, I think he got to the big leagues with just about 85 minor league innings. Which even for a reliever is on the short side, and never really, you know, any major injuries or anything he had to work around, but just some minor, you know, kinks along the way that kind of delayed him getting season started every year. And this year, 2019, was actually the first year where he had a very normal, totally healthy spring training. And obviously we saw the strides he was able to make this season at the AA and AAA level, and then ultimately getting the big leagues this year.
We are talking to Sam Gainey, Senior Director of Player Development here on Ben and Woods. Got to ask you, I mean, the name that everybody is really clamoring for right now, a guy that has seemingly hit his stride and done kind of everything asked of him, at least from an offensive standpoint down in the minors right now, is Luis Urias. And I know you're pretty intimately involved with his development, his growth. Tell us kind of where the organization is at with him right now.
Luis, in a good spot. He's actually missed the last couple days. He just kind of took a funny swing.
Yeah.
Kind of his left shoulder was kind of bugging him. So he just missed a few days. Back in the lineup last night, homered. You know, I think when you talk about Louie and when you talk about a lot of these guys, whether it be Austin Allen, Francisco Mejia, Ty France. Oftentimes, the major league level is like the best teacher of, you know, of kind of where what a player needs to perhaps pay a little more attention to when they go down the minor league. I think Louis is 22 years old and has been probably the one of the top hitters in all of the minor leagues. I think we have every confidence that he's going to be a really, really valuable piece of this major league team. But I think his first exposure to the big leagues last year and, again, at the beginning of this year probably showed him some things that he probably needed to work on. You know, mainly offensively, I think the positives are, is like defensively, this guy has turned into an above-average defensive shortstop. He's running well. He's throwing well. And I think this time in AAA over the last couple months has honestly, you know, reinvigorated him a little offensively. And I think we feel even more confident than ever that this guy is going to be an impactful bat at the major league level for us for a long time.
Sam, not specifically for Urias, but how do you know when a guy's ready for the big leagues? Given the inflated numbers this year that seem to be coming out, especially the Pacific Coast League, and I mean the El Paso Chihuahuas hit their 200th home run of the season last night in 97 games. Everyone's going to have good offensive numbers. What do you look for that says, okay, this could translate to the big leagues?
It's a really good question. I think it's how we honestly make a lot of our decisions around here. I think the benefit of kind of how our development group works is that we spend a lot of time with these guys, as I mentioned earlier, and that, you know, we're constantly interacting, engaging, talking with them, kind of bouncing off ideas off of our coaches, off of our players at the various affiliates. But sometimes, you know, in as close as we get to the player, sometimes it's good also to have another perspective. So, you know, I think a big piece of that is also, you know, when our professional scouting department comes through and has a chance to look at our guys, they're seeing our guys every night, they're watching our major league games, they really have a very, very good, like, compare and contrast of what they're seeing and how it potentially will help the major league club in the short term. Obviously, the baseball operations group, led by AJ in San Diego, is kind of constantly asking these questions about, you know, are there guys at the double A, at the triple A level who could potentially help us win games in the big leagues each night? And for us, it's a little more kind of, you know, it's a little simpler. It's asking ourselves, like, when we turn Andrés Muñoz over to the big league, when we turn Luis Urias over, when we send him back up there, does he have the tools to succeed? You know, in Muñoz's case, can we trust him that when Andy brings him in, he's going to throw the ball over the plate? Does he have a reliable secondary pitch? And when we kind of check some of those internal indicators, I think we feel pretty good that these guys are ready to go up. But it's very much a group effort and a group discussion about when these guys.
Now, Sam, what you guys have done over the last few years has been remarkable. I mean, depending on who you ask, it's the number one or number two farm system in baseball, and just filled with every position, you know, deep. And so when we're coming up on the major league trading deadline right now, and you look at just some of the glut of prospects that the Padres have accumulated, I can't imagine that going out and adding more pieces or more prospects is something they would be interested in. Am I wrong in that? I was kind of thinking they're in a weird position in that they have good major league pieces if they wanted to trade, but they also have a ton of guys in the minor leagues, or can you never have too many guys in the minor leagues?
I don't think you can ever have enough. I try not to get consumed by, you know, prospect rankings or anything like that. You know, just I think we are kind of approaching every day, like working with the group we have. You know, obviously we had the amateur draft where we got another 30 players, the international signing period where we had another 20 to hopefully add and kind of create these waves of talent that we frequently talked about. But I think the best thing about having the depth that, you know, our group has put together here is it does give you options. And I don't think you really go into any of this time of the year with any real hard line about what you're looking for. But I think because of the talent, you know, we've acquired and accumulated and developed in the system, I think we have a chance to be in discussions if we would like to be.
Building off Woods' question, the Rule 5 draft is always something you got to keep your eye on when you're that deep in the minor leagues. What is that looking like this offseason in the next couple of years in terms of how many guys that you're going to be able to protect on the 40-man, and how does that play into the decisions that the organization has to make, both short-term and over the next, say, you know, 16 months?
I think it's kind of knowing that, you know, hard roster decisions are looming over the next couple of years. I think it's always going to be part of the equation as far as when you want to bring a player up and when you want to add him to the roster. But I think the thing that ultimately is going to drive AJ and Josh's decisions every day is like what is going to make the major league team better. And if it happens to be a younger player that, you know, maybe doesn't need to be protected for a year or so, but that player gives us the best chance to win games in San Diego that night. That's the move that the group is going to make. But honestly, it's a kind of a nice problem to have. It'll create some really, really good debate in some of those meetings you alluded to in the off season, as far as which players to protect both this off season. And we had a very large international signing class in 2016. And some of those players, we are looking at a year from now where they become roster protect eligibles. You know, in my 4 or 5 Rule Fives I've been here, we haven't lost a player. You know, I would expect that to probably change going forward. I think it comes down to, you know, players are going to potentially go elsewhere and prosper, but I think that's where our group and where our scouting group and baseball ops group really is hopefully going to show ourselves is protecting the right ones and really, really knowing the people and the makeup and the quality of the kids. But there is some risk based on some of the talent that's been assembled here.
Well, Sam, good stuff. I really enjoyed that conversation. Just last thing, you know how, you know, like a student goes on to be really successful in like business or whatever, the teacher will always go, yeah, he was one of mine.
Yeah,
I,
my guy.
I teach him. When Fernando Tatis does something good, do you go around going, yeah, he was one of mine in the minor leagues once upon a time?
It's a very, very good, very delicate balance. And part of the, when you're really doing some of these things well, you know when to get involved and also when to stay out of the way. Fernando's a very, very talented guy who we nudged along the way, but you know, it's
you couldn't have stopped him from getting to the big leagues if you had tried.
Right.
Your words, not mine. But no, we take a lot of pride in working with these kids, and you know, hopefully that their experience as San Diego Padres minor leaguers is a good one. And you know, I'm very proud of the group that's starting to graduate up there, and some of the cultural things we are doing on the minor league side, and ultimately hope that it leads to delivering a championship to San Diego soon.
Well, Sam, wish all your players and all your 8 teams good health, a strong finish to the season here in the last month and a half or so, and appreciate your time this morning.
Great. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Awesome. Sam Gainey.
Thanks, Sam.
With us, Padres Senior Director of Player Development. He is in charge of the entire farm system for the San Diego Padres, and appears on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply today at sdccu.com.
I wonder how vigorous and loud and passionate those meetings are about players.
I would think very.
I would think very, too. I mean, I bet you there are guys going in there defending or, you know, saying, I just don't know if this is the guy. I don't know if he's ready. No, you got to see him. Trust me, he's putting in the work. Wouldn't you kill to be in there? I think it'd be so much fun.
I mean, it does have
to be.
And
also awful.
I kind of asked him about it because the numbers are so inflated right now at AAA,
yeah,
especially in El Paso. Everyone looks like they're ready for the big leagues. I mean, everyone's got 20 bombs. They're hitting 300. They're getting on base. But you don't really know if they are truly ready for the big leagues. Now, a lot of the times you don't have the luxury of waiting for the right moment. There's an injury on the big league club. You're out of options. Hey, you got to sink or swim now, kid. We need you. But so far, the Padres haven't needed Luis Urias this season. You know, they've had a healthy second baseman, but haven't necessarily been the most productive in the league, but they haven't had that emergency where we need someone tonight and we don't have anyone else who can play the position. It's your turn. Go.
It's I just saw the lineup for today, and I said earlier in the show I'd be really surprised if Ian Kinsler was in the lineup. He's in the lineup.
He has pretty good numbers against John Lester.
I get it. He's whiffing on 91. He's whiffing on 91 yesterday. I mean, steadily swinging through 91. Errors, you know, sloppy play. It's getting harder and harder to understand some of the things that are happening right now. And again, it's all above my pay grade. But yeah, I feel, I see, and hear. I see it and hear a lot of frustration, and now I'm starting to let that frustration creep in a little bit.
By the way, just
I was trying to be sensible.
Yeah, no. One more little tidbit on Sam Gainey and the Padres minor leaguers. This was a quote from Andy Green on Andrés Muñoz after the game last night. He said, quote, "They did a really nice job of preparing him for all that he would be asked to do before he was brought up. None of those situations are brand new to him. Having a guy on base with nobody out, yep. having to reach back and strike out guys, coming in later in the game, middle of the game. He's been prepared for his big leagues thanks to the work that Sam and you know, his people have done in the Padres farm system." And that was a nice little compliment by Andy Green. It really goes toward those minor league people in the Padres organization. It's their job to do that. All right, Ben and Woods Show is brought to you today by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Woodsy, what's your birthday plans the rest of the day?
Going to hit go home, watch Padre game in bed with the covers pulled up under my chin. And going to watch that game. Hopefully we get a dub there. And then going to go to dinner tonight at Bob's Steak and Chop House. Ooh. Very excited about that. And then tomorrow, I think just a nice beach day with the fam. And then Sunday, 9 a.m., San Diego Athletics against the North County Wolves. Two teams.
Happy birthday, Steven. This one's for you.
Two teams that do not like each other. It's going to be a battle. All right?
This one goes out from Donny Osmond to you.
To me. Great. Thank you guys for that treat. Had a great birthday. You guys made it really special.
You
I appreciate
it. You could celebrate like Chris Paddock does before every start. Did you see that?
I thought it was after.
No, night before every start.
Before?
Yes. That's what he told
after.
Mike Grant. No.
Oh, my God.
He said the night before every start, he told this to Mark Grant, I think yesterday, he said he crushes a large pizza.
It's amazing.
By himself every single night before a start.
Our boy,
it's like a carb loading sort of thing.
Our boy, miserable Padre fan, says, "Well, yeah, I also do that before a Paddock start, and a Lauer start, and a Lucchese start, and a Lament start." So good, it killed me. Before, that's interesting. I talked to Andy Ashby.
That extra energy.
I asked Andy Ashby when we were with him at Fantasy Camp. I said, "Hey, what'd you do? Like, if you had a night game and you were on the bump?" He's like, "Dude, I couldn't eat a thing." He's like, "I would force down some chicken and pasta at like 10 in the morning, and that's it." He'd get to the clubhouse, have a little coffee, and then from there, he's like, "I couldn't eat anything." But you got to get those carbs in you.
Once you get to 44, can you imagine eating an entire large pizza on your own?
Yes.
Well, how would you feel the next day?
Terrible.
Ready to go out and pitch?
By the way, you know how I started my 45th year this morning? At like exactly midnight, I had the worst case of heartburn I've ever had in my life. I rolled over and swigged a half a bottle of Pepto at like right when I turned 44 years old.
Heartburn, hot flashes. Is this what I have to look forward to?
Dying.
In like 4 months or whatever? In a few months? Yeah.
I'm dying right now.
You're not making it look that appealing.
It's like it just hit me. I don't know what the hell's the matter with me. I'm nauseous.
Getting old, right? You're like that Facebook app in real life. Woodsy is just getting old
in front of our eyes
right now, live on the radio.
Oh, God.
All at once. Good week. It was a short week for me. 4 days. Thanks for Ryan Phillips who filled in on Monday. We will be back on Monday morning. Full 4 hours, full week next week. Hopefully we have a good series for the Padres to talk about, and we can still be optimistic about this second half of the season. Padres baseball coming up in just over an hour, the pregame show. Jim Rome, until then, for Hammer, for Paul, for Woodsy, I'm Ben. Have a great weekend, everybody. Coach John Quintero, Gwynn and Chris after the game today, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.